Hey, welcome to the Happy Ramp Podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined as always in studio by my good friends, my partners in radio, Barnabas Piper and Ronald J. Martin. Ronald, I have news to break on the program this morning. A big thing happened in publishing this last week. It involved our co-host Barnabas, and I feel like it's the kind of thing that's going to create some inequity on the show, maybe some friction. So I just kind of want to lean into it together.
I feel some fragility coming out of you even as you're beginning to talk about it, Big T.
Well, I'm fragile because I'm authentic, and that's just where my heart's at. So if you have a problem with my fragility, then we need to talk too, which we probably do. But at any rate, far be it for me to take the spotlight off Pipe, because I have breaking news, Ronald. Should you cue up the breaking news jingle in your studio?
Yeah, let me cue it up. Hold on. Turn on the knob right now if you want to begin. If you want to begin, there it goes. Everything's on. VU meters are lighted.
The VU meters are looking good. Here we go. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. So this just came across my desk, Ron, and I have in front of me the 2020 Malcontents Podcast Book Awards. And our co-host, our friend Barnabas Piper, won a Malcontents Podcast Book Award. So he has broken the streak of all of us getting shut out of 2020 book list, book awards. This is huge.
Pipe, congrats, man. Just a wholehearted congratulations.
From the show to you, Piper.
Thank you, guys. Thank you from the bottom of my heart.
You tell me, I want to know. Sorry, T, I'm not trying to cut you off. I want to know Pipe, give me the first thing that came to mind when this thing just came soaring.
Maybe that's a great question. I want
the emotion, give it to, I mean, yes. Let it off.
Yeah, bring us into that moment, because we don't know what it feels like.
Because we obviously don't know what it feels like.
It's almost difficult to articulate the feelings. They were so new to me and so overwhelming in that moment.
Find out. Can you tell us how you found out?
I found out online, so via Twitter, as one should in these cases, at almost the exact same time that one of you texted to, I don't know if it was to congratulate me or to express shock and jealousy, but I'll take it as congratulations.
I think a little bit of both. I think all of the above. Yeah.
Pipe, where were you when this happened?
Good. Yeah.
Where was I? I was probably ignoring a Zoom meeting. It's probably what I was doing.
Oh, wow. What a great thing to happen in the middle of something you wish happened.
Something to really brighten what is an otherwise abysmal experience of staring at, nine faces on a screen.
No, it's really good, Pipe. It's
correct.
Safe.
Correction, yeah, staring at my own experience. Face while there are 9 other faces on a screen, because that's what we do on Zoom. It was momentous. It felt life altering. I do want to just ensure you both, I really do still feel just like one of the people. I don't feel like this has elevated me to any grand status or anything. I'm not looking down on you or anything like that. So just
much appreciated.
In case you were worrying about that.
We are worrying,
and I don't know that we don't need to flesh that out a little bit, because I think there's some insecurity going on with me and T with this.
With a baby with a podcast as big as Malcontents Podcast, I've got to think that Piper's life has changed in some pretty tangible ways. Can you talk about some of those ways, like how your life's been different since you found out? Did it come with money or a trophy or like one of those huge checks? What are we looking at?
Yeah, it really came with like 4 retweets.
Well, that's huge.
And a sense of, mild gratification, I would say. I'm hoping it maybe sold a copy, so maybe I'll see, 87 cents in royalties somewhere in 6 months or so.
There you go. That's thinking positive.
It really moved the needle for me in a significant way. I also felt a lot like, that really profound sense of success you got when you used to get participation awards.
Totally.
You'd get the same ribbon that all the other kids at field day did. It feels a little bit like that, because, because I used to co-host that podcast. And so there was a sense of, man, they still like me. And in fact,
it's like going home, right? It's like kind of like going home. It's like the people that I used to be with are still like, they're honoring me.
Yeah. You know? Mm-hmm.
Sometimes a prophet is honored in his own hometown.
I was just going to say that, baby. That's well said.
Yeah. It's exactly. Very, very biblical too. And then, you know, sometimes when you leave somewhere, you worry that you're forgotten. And so being gone but not forgotten feels very significant to me. I feel like Gone But Not Forgotten could be the name of this award, when in reality it's I made the list under books by someone we know and like. So that feels, you know, profound. Like TGC can keep their awards. I saw Russell Moore put out a 20 best books of the last 20 years because he's read all of them.
Big Russ doing work.
And, you know, Tim Challey says his list of, you know, top 10 boring theological books. I am profoundly grateful for to make the list of books by people we know and like by a former podcast that I co-hosted. So
how have the offers been for all of the online conferences for next year? Have they just been pouring in for you?
I actually did get two offers to speak at online conferences this week.
Gosh, that sounds dynamic. An online conference?
Yeah, it's a lot like a Christmas panel, except that both of these were like inspirational speaker things. So apparently they ran across Hoping for Happiness and were under the impression that I'm like a happiness guru.
You're going to lay some glumness on them and they're going to be disappointed.
Yeah, so one of them was an Australian life coach named Billy.
Yes.
And
dude, tell me everything about Billy. What does he look like?
Well, no, even better. Billy's a she. So
yes, of course.
Yeah. Billy, oh, I love this. I think Billy might be a cancer survivor, and just
her
health and positivity and good vibes and, you know, just leading people towards the light and, and, you know, doing it all in an Australian accent. So everybody's happy. And so there was that one. And then there was another one that was much more like health and wellness. And it had a very kind of Zen meets essential oils vibe to it. And solid. I almost wanted to accept both just to be grossly out of place. But I haven't responded to either yet because I'm weighing the offers, you know, just what is the value of this?
Maybe wouldn't it be nice to have offers of our own to weigh? You know,
you mean to be able to weigh them against his offers, like currently right now, like on this pod? Yeah, it would be unbelievable.
I mean, just to be able to weigh our own offers against our own offers, you know, that's just a language. I don't even know how to speak it.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Now, I mean, maybe, I wonder though, like Pipe, like, did you get the offers? I guess I should have qualled this a little bit. Did you get the offers post award? Because I mean, obviously your price is going to hike a little bit.
Yeah, implying that the award brought in the offers,
right? Yeah. So I mean, did it happen like that, or did it come in before you get the award and it's like, well, we're gonna have to talk about the offer now because I do have this award now.
Well, one was before and one was after. So the one after, I'm assuming, you know, like that this is their top
Billy
dollar.
Is a malcontents listener.
Yeah. Yeah, Billy very clearly loves Dave Schrader, Aaron Armstrong, and Scarlett Hiltebeitel, as you know, all wise life coaches from Australia should.
Absolutely.
The other one came in before, so yeah, there may be some renegotiating there. Actually, they didn't offer me any money. They just said, would you like to participate? So I'm going to have to go back and say, you know, no, I'm big time now. You're going to have to do better than that.
I mean, I would even like start the email with please understand.
Please understand. That's right.
Is it too aggressive to go, do you know who I am?
I mean, exactly. I would get to do you know who I am, but I would start maybe with something like this, but like, please understand, although I can't tell you how much I appreciate the offer to speak at your online conference, you need to know. So please understand, although, and then you need to know, and then I think you can get into like the stuff.
Okay.
That's solid. That's
so cool. Just it's a little egotistical to start with. I think you misunderstood who you were writing to.
You're a man of the cloth now, Pipe. You got to ease your way into it. You know what I mean? Definitely got to ease your way into it, I would say.
Absolutely. And you're a man of the cloth now, which means you got to respond to their response immediately. Like a second and a half goes by.
Oh no, I'm setting that bar low. talking 72 hours minimum before I respond to anything, just so that over time
good.
I
that's
can
real person time though. That's not like clergy time. You got to be quick on the response.
But also it allows me room to grow over time. So as people get frustrated, the next time, you know, it's like 67 hours and then all of a sudden I'm improving. So
then you get a lot of talk. What I like about that pipe, number one, is that's wisdom. Number two, then you get the talk amongst the people, which is like, hey, have you ever emailed Pastor Pipe? Yeah. Well, does he get back to you? Yeah, but it's 5 days. You know what I mean? And then like the six expectation days. Is 6 days. Well, with me, baby, it's 6 days.
Well, of course it is.
It's 6 days, right? Hey, when's the last time you texted Ronnie? Does he get back to you? And then just you get back 6 days.
6 days. That's it. That's
He texts back the word baby and then doesn't say anything else after that for 6 days.
And then
six days
later, he sends the rest of the text. Finishes
the text.
I may do that as well. That would send some conflicting messages.
It really would. That'd be tough. Right. Now, baby, I want to follow up with you on something that you mentioned. Are all the conferences for next year like already online? Have they already like thrown up their hands and just given up and like admitted that they're going to be sad online confabs?
No, not at all. It is. Okay. I mean, it is. The vaccine is out. It is optimism personified right now. It is dude, we're going full bore. We're going to be able to do this conference. And if not, it'll be like a hybrid version of it. But like, you better believe you me, we are going to get in a room together.
Okay. That's you're gonna pack that bag and roll it down the tarmac, and we're getting you on a plane this year.
I mean, if they have 10 spots to have people at the conf, I'll have one of the 10.
You're going to pay $10,000 for
$10,000 per ticket.
Coming right out of that church budget. No more shiplap for you guys this year.
Don't let anyone there tell you you need to wear a mask, especially not hotel employees.
Hey, now that reminds me, we've got our own retreat we need to suss out, boys. As soon as we wrap the recording, we've got to have a high level business meeting about our own retreat, which I'm excited about. And we can drop the details on that later. But boys, in this space of book awards, I thought far be it from us to have a podcast for like 7 or 8 years and not do our own Happy Rant book awards. So I went ahead and got in the office, put the reps in, did a little bit of show prep, and I've got some awards that I want to lay on you guys and talk about and bestow.
A bestowing of awards. This feels like, Christmas came early.
It's kind of big. So if you want to like wave your wives into the room and I don't know, put me on speaker or whatever, you can do that. I feel like it's just going to be a big moment. Without further ado, let me kind of get into these. Okay.
I hear the paper crumpling. I like.
Yeah, I've got a lot of papers I'm shuffling. It was a lot of work and a lot to evaluate, a lot of manuscripts to kind of pour over. But here we go. Number one, we've got Best Advent Devotional for Kids, written by Jared Wilson's best friend and Beth Moore's acquaintance.
That's the category, correct?
That's the category. Best Advent Devotional for Kids. Written by Jared Wilson's best friend and Beth Moore's acquaintance.
I feel like I don't have. I feel like I'm a long shot in
this.
That's
a wide. I mean, there's a lot of people that fit in the category. I mean, who would you think would be up for something like that?
I mean, I've emailed a little bit with Jared, as you guys know. We've exchanged pleasantries online. I'm friends with his brother. I mean, it goes pretty deep there. Mm. But let me get the envelope here and see who wins this one. This one goes to Ronnie Martin.
Wow.
Yeah, boys, let's clap it up for Ronald.
Boys, big round of applause for Ronald J. Martin. Well done.
Yeah, good job on that Advent devotional. That actually came out 2 years ago.
Man, as the Brits would say.
You're still dining out on that thing now, which is great. Here we go. Next category. I think this one, I don't know. I don't feel great about it. I feel like it was a little on the nose, whereas that last one, I kept it a little bit more open-ended. Here we go. Were you ready?
Yeah.
Yeah. Best book of 2020, written by a son of John Piper. Now, I have to qualify this by asking Pipe. Pipe, have any of your siblings released books in 2020?
Not that I'm aware of, which either means they don't like me enough to let me know, or the answer is no. I mean, it's a bit of a toss-up. Yeah,
the former is possible.
Yeah, though, Pipe, it's possible. Right? I do have a brother who is a writer, but I don't think he's published anything this year.
Families are complicated. We get it. Let me grab the envelope on this one, boys. Here we go. Best book of 2020, written by son of John Piper, goes to Barnabas Piper. Wow. So, Ron, let's clap up for Piper.
Big That's relief. I mean, I was sitting on the edge of my chair for that one. It was, man, it's a really, you've taken the malcontents pot and leveled it all the way up in terms of my overall excitement. So thank you. Thank you.
Well,
for
we really
honor.
Have. And in terms of importance and scope, I mean, these awards are kind of as far reaching, I think, as theirs. I think, you know, there's going to be some conference invites as a result of these. Ron's probably already fielding calls as we speak.
Yeah, guys, I'm a little quiet. It's because the emails are starting to pour in right now. So
I get it. We've got one more category here, boys. And let me take a look at it. This one is best graphic novel for kids involving no superheroes, superpowers, fantastical created worlds, or the guy that we referenced last week.
Sinclair Ferguson,
man. I'm really curious, man, because this is a wide category.
Yeah, I mean, I was certain when you started that the winner was going to be Sinclair Ferguson, but since it doesn't involve him, I'm stumped.
I had to kind of go in on Sinclair Ferguson. And so this is essentially best graphic novel for kids involving none of the things that kids like, which sounds like a book that I would write. But let's grab the envelope. The winner for this one is The Outstanding Life of an Awkward Theater Kid by Ted Kluck. So,
wow, man.
Yeah, boys, we've all taken home some hardware.
Man, who would have thought that all of us could win an award in this pitfall of a dog of a year that we would finish it on this high note?
I know it.
That's man.
Big.
I know. A little perspective, guys. All is not lost in 2020. In that we're all big winners tonight, Ronald.
I think you describe us like on our bios on the page, I think you need to add this now.
Yeah, award-winning author. I mean, that's not even good enough.
No. I mean, we're going to have to figure it out for our books because obviously our bios just changed.
Yeah.
Our bios have been edited right now.
We all have the same agent. Let's get Wolves on the phone and let's have him reach out to all of our publishers with whom we have projects and get that changed.
I think it's fair to call us all, 2020 Book of the Year award winner in the same way that sometimes somebody who was like the assistant score writer for something is an Oscar award winning, composer.
Yeah.
Well, we are all winners of the Book of the Year in these categories.
And like hike it up to like bestsellers list. I feel like we're there too.
Mm-hmm. I have a question about the term bestseller.
Yeah.
Does it mean that it's the best book that sold a copy? Does it mean it sold the most copies? Cause I see bestseller on a lot of things that I'm like, I'm 100% sure that didn't sell the most of anything.
I think it can mean whatever you want it to mean now, which is why I'm embracing it. I think for instance, my book in my category, man, I think it was the bestseller in that category because
I bet it was
in that category.
Yeah. I don't know. Jared has a lot of friends. I suppose one of them could have written an Advent devotional, but I think you're right, baby. I think it's safe to call that a bestseller.
But Jared only has one best friend. So really
that's true. Yeah.
Bestseller, that's best friend.
Bestseller, best friend.
Yeah.
Beth Moore, a lot of acquaintances there. But boys, speaking of I don't want to say a legitimate bestseller, but this guy, he's known for shipping some units, man. This guy's moved some product over the course of his career.
He's also bought some products to skew the bestseller numbers.
I was just
going to
say that. Sometimes he's moved that product not very far.
That's right.
Like into his own office.
He's moved it to his garage from UPS.
That's right. And we are talking, of course, of the great Mark Driscoll, Drisky. And I bring Drisky up only because Ronald sent out a very intriguing photo the other night. It was a picture of Drisky with the accompanying text that just said, "I feel like he's had Botox." And this is like
it's funnier now than it was then.
It really is funny. This is a promotional photo. And because it's radio, not television, I'm going to do my best to describe it. It's Drisky and he's sitting on like a distressed wooden chair. So just kind of standard hipster chair, wearing some like, I don't know, acid wash jeans and a very black like button up like Levi's shirt with a black t-shirt underneath, and he's leaning forward. He's like a dog on a chain in this thing, man. He's just leaning in literally to the camera. And Ronald said, it looks like he's had Botox. And I just want to talk about this for a minute.
I mean,
because I think we all had some responses to it.
Let me qualify it a little bit.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. Like photography is a funny thing now, right? So like you can get any kind of shade and like, and sort of like soft light and like different kind of focuses on your face. It could be just that, or it could be that. I mean, a lot of people get Botox right now. It's not even a thing anymore. It's like such not a thing. So it could be one of those two things. I was just asking the question, you know?
Yeah. You were just literally with no judgment, because Pipe and I are our skincare enthusiasts ourselves.
No, I know. You guys have probably gotten many Botox treatments. So I'm not offended by Botox in the slightest. I mean, it's all up to, you know, it's all up to the individual. There's nothing wrong with that. I just was curious because he doesn't look like the Driscoll of old to me. And again, I haven't seen a picture of him in, it's been some years now.
Well, the Driscoll of old was kind of, I don't want to say like pseudo tough guy, but he had a little bit of that pseudo tough guy kind of ethic.
Like there were some lines in his, like we're about the same age, me and Drisky. And so I'm just saying like, you know, Driscoll had kind of a rugged, he had kind of a ruggedness to his features. Yeah. And so like, when I saw this new picture, there was, I mean, dude, his face is like, it looks good, man. Like it's smooth. And I was like, wait a minute.
Nice, smooth face. Definitely coloring that beard. Little Just for Men on the brush going on the beard.
His beard grooming deserves some high praise too. Those are some crisp, crisp lines.
Yeah, that's not Kris Kringle going on right there, man. That's like model-esque. That's tight. You know what I mean?
It is.
That's not like lumberjack, you know, I'm doing like the older LL Bean photo shoot. This is more like,
Johnson beard. It's almost like a Miami Vice kind of vibe.
I'm going to use the word svelte, Big T.
Yeah. You know whose beard it reminds me of, boys? And you're not going to like this, Ronnie, because you don't like this movie, but Harry Ellis in Die Hard.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
He's the guy that does the cocaine at the Nakatomi Christmas party. This is a very like late 80s business guy beard.
It really is, man. It really is like one of those kinds of beards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. Definitely eating some color. How do you guys feel about guys our age coloring their beards? I think it's kind of a ridiculous move personally. And no judgment, listeners, if there are people out there who
maybe a little bit of judgment. A little bit of judgment.
Yeah, maybe even right now coloring your beard, but like they're, it just seems like a weird move to go, okay, I'm whatever age I am, but I'm going to make it look like my beard is the beard of a 22-year-old. You know, that's going to make a difference.
I feel like if Sean Connery could win Sexiest Man Alive at like 77 or whatever he was, you don't need to color your beard. Just, you don't look or sound like Sean Connery, whoever you are. But I think
nobody saw Sean Connery at 77 and was like, hey, he's sexy because he looks like he's 27. Like he didn't look 27. That's the whole point.
No, he looked entirely his age, but just, you know, he was Sean Connery.
Some dudes just like have the ability to embrace, man. That's the word. Like they just embrace where they're at. And dude, I mean, handsome is as handsome does, man. I mean, if you're a handsome dude, like honestly, man, you carry yourself through the stages of your handsomeness, right? I mean, you're going to be 70 is a different handsomeness than you were at 50, 30, but like you retain that handsome. If you have the handsomeness, it's going to carry, right?
Well, let's put a fine point on this thing. And I agree, baby, 100%. And this is going to be some hard hitting radio journalism. Do you think Drisky is handsome?
I was just going to ask the same question. Brilliant minds are thinking alike here.
Yeah. If so, how handsome?
Okay, so this is where I come at these things, all right? Here's my hot take on this one.
Sure.
So Drisky, I think he would be what I would call a type.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is some people just, most people, okay, so there's a category, right? For some people, most people can look at them and all agree, not very handsome. Sure. Then there are some people where, I mean, across the board, everybody's going to be like, yeah, pretty handsome dude. And then there are some people that I call types, which are you're going to be more polarizing, where you're going to find some people that are like, no, man, I think he's pretty handsome. And then other people that are going to be like, ah, I'm just not seeing it. It doesn't do it for me. I think Drisky would be more of a type. Well, you're going to get like polarization. That's okay. My type.
Piper, where are you at on Drisky's handsomeness?
Good, Ronald. I can buy what Ronnie's saying there. Just that because, yeah, he's a like he definitely, yeah, he gives off sort of a vibe. And now here's what I have to say that is the most complimentary. This is a good look on Mark Driscoll. He's not trying to be too much of anything in this.
Yeah.
You know, the coloring of the beard, you know, that's a tad too much. But like he's not the aggressive like Affliction t-shirt, you know, you know, 4-inch thick watch band guy from a few years ago. Nor is he, you know, the Carl Lentz deep V, you know, shiny muscles guy. He just looks like appropriately healthy and fit. He looks happy. Like he does
look happy.
He just looks, which is good. Good to see him happy.
He does look fit, man. The dude is like fighting fit, right?
But he's like,
feel like he's fighting fit.
But he's healthy fit, not like swole fit.
No, not at all. I think he looks great. He looks great. Yeah.
So yeah. And all of that, so the whole like health kind of has found his style. Like if you saw him walking down the street, you wouldn't be like, that's a 50 something year old man who's trying to be something else. You're like, right. he looks, you know. So I would say, yeah, the type thing works because he does have sort of that, like, you know, rugged confidence in his vibe, but it's not a traditionally, you know, traditional like George Clooney handsome. Like Clooney or Brad Pitt, those are the guys you look at and you're like, if you don't think they're attractive, you clearly don't have eyes in your head. Yeah. Driscoll is more of the type kind of thing, for sure.
Yeah, dude, I would put him on the high end of average. Like for a normal looking non Clooney, non Brad Pitt person, he's pleasant looking.
Yeah.
And where's he living now? Like Scottsdale, Phoenix. Scottsdale. I mean, everybody down there is hot.
Outside of Phoenix somewhere.
Yeah, you got to really bring it to like.
Keep Scottsdale up. Is super. It's like the super high end affluent. It's like the Beverly Hills of Arizona.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, it's tough, dude. It's tough to compete out there.
For sure.
But he's, you know, he's giving it his old college try. He's doing his level best. So.
I think another thing he deserves respect for from this photo is that he has not leaned into the like sunbaked culture.
He's got a little bit of a tan going, Pipe.
Yeah, but like it's like a healthy tan, not like a layout in the sun tan.
Well, I mean, like if you're in Arizona, you're just tanned. I mean, dude, it's like. It's by virtue of just walking outside and like living life
by sitting near a window. But he doesn't look like orange tan. He doesn't look. He's not oddly bronzed. He just looks healthy.
Yeah, he looks healthy. Wait,
are we burying the lead here a little bit? In that I'm looking at this photo again, and it says "Meet the Authors." Is Drisky an author on something new? Does Drisk have new? Does he have a new product out there?
With his daughter. Yeah, he has a co-author out on Prayer with his daughter.
Oh, my goodness. Getting the kids involved.
Man.
That's
the publisher didn't send me a free copy of that one. I feel left out.
Let's define that kind of flex, because that's something that, like, I want to roll my eyes at it, but I could see myself doing that at some point.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's tough to roll our eyes at that because, you know, obviously he appears to have a good relationship with his daughter, good enough to where they can co-author something together. So I mean it's gonna be a little hard to be critical about something.
Well, like, I mean, don't we all? I mean, that's when we think of our parents, like I just think of all the time spent like throwing the ball in the yard and co-authoring books together. And I mean those are really the moments that you hang your hat on.
I mean, gee, I don't know about you, but man, when I got to that third book with my dad, I mean our relationship was just we were just like, we were in overdrive together.
Absolutely, dude. Absolutely. That's so big. Well, shout out to Drisky and his daughter for putting out a little product.
Can I give some props to his daughter? I just looked up this book and a little free promo for it. It's called Pray Like Jesus. That seems like a good thing to do. She's his oldest child. And so she studied theology at a college in Costa Rica. She graduated with honors from a master's program at Barrett Honors College. I don't know the schools, but just these are some accomplishments. She's recently married. She can write and speak fluently in English and Spanish, and she's the missions director at Driscoll's church.
She's crushing it.
Yeah, oh, and a campus leader for the prayer for a prayer ministry at Arizona State, and so forth. Like, she's kind of a boss.
Wow, yeah, she's handling it, man. I mean, she's doing well.
Wow. Also, it's a little crazy to me that Driscoll has grown children because
chip off the old block.
You know, I used to when I worked at Crossway way back in the day. It was when he was first publishing, and so I got to know him a little bit. And so his family was really young then. And you know, when you don't see somebody in forever, you just their time stops. And so in my mind, his kids have never gotten above about 12, except that was 15 years ago or something like that. So
apparently he hasn't either, according to this picture. I mean,
yeah, he actually looks healthier than he did 15 years ago. So he's aged backwards, and yet somehow his kids are growing up.
Yeah, he's kind of got that almost embalmed, like, reptilian rich person look, which that's the ultimate, like, money flex. When you can look like a kind of a reptile, that's when you know you've really made it. So I think Drisky must be doing well. Scottsdale's agreeing with him.
Scottsdale, man. I mean, look, if you've ever been...
Maybe how long until we move to Scottsdale? Why are we not there already?
I mean, have you guys ever been to Scottsdale? Because it's... I've been there, man. It's dreamy. It's a dreamy community, man. I mean, it's like... I mean, you're getting... So you get all these desert... You get all these, like, high-end, like, you know, desert people that are doing all the mid-century modern, you know, everything is just like done up to the...
Maybe a lot of modern nativities out there, man.
Oh, I mean, all modern nativity. Like,
hey, update.
All those modern nativities from last week are all existing in Scottsdale.
It'd be like a Southwest modern nativity, though. So it'd be like a piece of, I don't know, a couple of pieces of rock, maybe a crystal, maybe one of those bolo ties.
One of the wise men will be like a cactus, you know, kind of.
I love it, too. Hey, speaking of, are you enjoying your modern nativities? Your minimalist nativities? Are they preparing your heart for worship?
Oh, they are, man. I take one look at them and I feel warm inside. I just feel like I'm the anticipation, the waiting is compounds.
After our last episode, we've had some listeners who've sent us pictures of their own minimalist ones that they've made at home. So yeah. One guy made them out of like lug nuts and lug wrenches.
Yeah, that was epic.
One guy made them out of Post-it notes and pens. Really strong efforts by the listeners.
I think I'm going to make my own and send it to you guys and you can post it, Pipe. I might like work on that today.
Oh, wow. That's going to be a lot of work. I mean, how are you going to find the time, baby?
I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to find it, but I am.
Stuff. Yeah.
Also, listeners, if you want to see those awesome ones, we started an Instagram account for the podcast after 6.5 years. So I'll post them there and you can go see them. Also give us a follow because that's fun.
Dude, maybe I'll work on one too. And this is the text, Piper, from Ronald. Forgot to mention I need to step away early. So he's out. He's off the program.
You know, I know he's not Irish, but boy, he's the king of the Irish goodbye.
Dude, now what's the Irish goodbye? Feel like I've never heard of that.
The Irish goodbye is just the leaving without saying anything. You know,
oh, I like it.
Like you have, remember back when we could have a bunch of people over to our houses? That was a thing.
Yeah, it was horrible. I was so scared the whole time. I'm so glad we're not doing that anymore. That was terrifying.
Back before we knew it was unsafe to do that ever.
When we were just blind. Yeah.
We were just sheep. There was always that one friend who you'd be like, hey, have you seen so-and-so in a while? Like, oh, I think he left like 15 minutes ago. And they would just sort of slip out. And I feel like Ronnie's the podcast version of that.
He really is. I feel like I might be the real life version of that, though, now that you mention it. I always like to leave the party first. I don't know. I just like leaving places. And it's a good
like
feeling.
Leaving places.
It doesn't mean I don't enjoy the party. I also like leaving. I don't know. It's complicated. Piper, I feel like we've covered a lot of ground this morning. I feel like we could easily, in good conscience, land the program right here. But I need to give you a moment to talk about our business partner, Dwell Bible.
Yes, indeed. Dwell Bible is an audio Bible app who we've partnered with for a good while now, and in large part because we really love the product and think it's awesome. So if you go to dwellapp.io/happyrent, you can check it out. Also get a 20% discount off of the subscription. It's a monthly subscription, or you can get a lifetime subscription. It's 20% off of either. It's less than $2 a month for the annual one. It's not bad. But they have all sorts of features to help you with your Bible listening, memorizing, studying. They have sleep features. They have listening plans. So if you want to listen to the entire Bible in a year, or just books of the Bible, or they have thematic ones, like they have Advent lists out, things like that. They'll have more for Lent coming up in a few months. They do all that kind of stuff. So it's a great way to get more scripture into your life and get more into the Word and kind of get it into the margins of your life where you know, often we're our mind is wandering or daydreaming or whatever, we can fill it up with that instead. So again, go to dwellapp.io/happyrant. Check them out. It's a great product and you will like it.
Piper, that is a great promo. And I did like it. And I do like Dwell Bible. I like it a lot. Also like this podcast, Pipe. We have done good work today. We have done what we always do in that we've wandered to and fro throughout some topics. We talked a little Drisky. We gave ourselves some awards. And until next time.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
Hi, I'm Zach.
And I'm Randy.
And we're from Salty Saints Podcast. We're a theology and apologetics podcast.
To find out more, subscribe at lifeaudio.com.